fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first on Thursday show. The world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team has been on a 28-match unbeaten streak spanning more than a year. And the American women hope to continue that streak later Thursday night when they host England in Orlando, Florida, in their opening match in the She Believes Cup tournament. The U.S. roster features all 20 players who helped the team qualify for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics in early February. The USA women have dominated Olympic soccer. They've qualified for all six Olympics in which women's football has been contested, winning four gold medals and a silver. This is the fifth edition of the She Believes Cup. Before the USA plays England, Spain will go against 2020 Olympic host Japan, also in Orlando. The four-team tournament will then move to Harrison, New Jersey, near New York City, for two more matches on Sunday, Japan versus England and the USA versus Spain. And the She Believes Cup will wrap up next Wednesday, March 11th, near Dallas, Texas, with the final two matches. England goes against Spain, and the USA will play Japan. In African football, teams across the continent will resume the qualifying campaign for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament later this month. Three-time African champion Nigeria currently leads Group L with the maximum 6 points from two matches. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will next play the Lyon Stars of Sierra Leone in home and away qualifiers. Nigeria's German coach Gernot Rohr has released a 24-player list for the two matches. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the media officer of the Super Eagles, Toyin Ibitoye.
Well, at last, the list of players for the games in March against Sierra Leone has been released, and I think it's a very, very good list. I know that there is no perfect list in the world. No matter how well you package your list, there will be people who will still tell you this player shouldn't be there, or this one should be there, this one is not good enough, or there will always be that argument. But I think this list is good. It's a very balanced list. In every department, there are a lot of good options, and I'm happy. Our team is now very competitive. Our team is loaded with quality in every department, and I hope that this list, by the time we get onto the pitch, are able to justify all the hype. But I think it's a very, very solid list. This is the kind of list you take to a tournament like the World Cup or the Nations Cup, and I hope that we will deliver with this list in March.
Kelechi Iheanacho, Leicester City forward, and Leon Balogun, Wigan Athletic defender, are back to the team. Is it because of their newfound form?
Yes, Kelechi is back. Leon Balogun as well is also back. It's a result of the fact that they've improved. Leon Balogun was in the Championship Team of the Week since joining Wigan from Brighton. He's played three games, they've kept three clean sheets, and they've won. So it's good. It's very good. They're out of relegation troubles. They are up, and they can only get better. So we are happy for Leon. We are happy for Kelechi. They've worked hard, and that's the reward for hard work. They are back in the squad, and I hope they are back to stay for a very, very long time.
Nigeria leads their group with maximum points. Do you think the Super Eagles will underrate the Leo Stars of Sierra Leone?
Mike, there is nothing like underrating anybody. Yes, we've won our first two games, but we still have four games to go. This is not the time for us to underrate anybody. The Super Eagles do not underrate the opponents. We respect them. We do not fear them. We do not underrate them. We take them as seriously as possible. So we are not underrating Sierra Leone. They are a good side. They are decent. And we cannot take anybody for granted. We have to keep pushing. Yes, we've won our first two games. We are comfortable in the group. But the group has not been won yet. We still have four games to play, and we have to continue with the same spirit, with the same momentum, with the same hunger, with the same commitment, the same humility, so that we can keep getting good results.
That's Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of Nigeria's national football team, the Super Eagles. And Toyin spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In more African football news, Mauritius and Ivory Coast have named new head coaches. The 49-year-old Algerian Bwala Mancour signed a 2-year contract with Mauritius. Mancour has previously coached clubs in Morocco, Tunisia, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And he also led the DRC's under-17 team in 2014-2015. Meanwhile, the 41-year-old Frenchman Patrice Baumel has been appointed the new Ivory Coast coach. Baumel has worked extensively in his coaching career with fellow Frenchman Hervé Renard, and this marks a return to Ivory Coast for him. Baumel was an assistant to Renard when the Elephants of Ivory Coast won the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations trophy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Sports officials around the world are trying to keep competitions going while managing the risks of the coronavirus. Top Olympic officials say the Tokyo Games are still scheduled to open July 24th. But other top international sporting events in Japan have been postponed, canceled, or dramatically reduced in size. And just ahead, my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson will have more details for us.
Sports events around the world are finding fewer fans to witness them in person. The coronavirus scare is affecting any place where people gather, and that is especially true for sports stadiums and arenas. The opening of the Japanese baseball season is in doubt because of the outbreak of the new virus. The Olympic host nations' baseball and soccer leagues have tapped 3 medical experts as advisors. Baseball Commissioner Atsushi Saito said protecting fans, players, and coaches is critical. To overcome what we can call this problem facing our nation, we decided to make this unusual decision for professional baseball and J-League to come together to set up an advisory panel to deal with the new coronavirus. Preseason games are being played in empty stadiums, with the hope the regular season can begin as scheduled on March 20th. But Saito acknowledged assessing whether the regular season can open, with or without fans, is a delicate decision, noting the virus outbreak was not expected to subside soon. The J-League soccer competition joined Nippon Professional Baseball in forming the panel to assess the virus outbreak. Mitsuro Murai is Japan Professional Football League chairman. I think it is groundbreaking that NPB and the J-League, the two organizations that are supported by so many fans in Japan, are tying up in this way. We plan to work together to deal with the new coronavirus that is a threat not only to sports, but to so many people. The J-League season had begun, but has now suspended play. It hopes to resume March 18th. the Tokyo Marathon took place on quiet road Sunday with no public runners due to virus scare. Berhanu Lugesa of Ethiopia defended his Tokyo Marathon title as he finished in 2 hours, 4 minutes, 15 seconds. Lona Chemtai Salpeter, a Kenya-born Israeli, won the women's race in her marathon majors debut with a time of 2 hours, 17 minutes, 45 seconds. Sunday's race was expected to have had 38,000 participants, but was limited to just over 200 elite runners due to concerns over the outbreak of the virus in Japan. The Tokyo Marathon is one of the biggest sporting events to be affected by the coronavirus. Some spectators lined the streets of the Japanese capital as the government asked people not to gather in large crowds. FIFA President Gianni Infantino says the global coronavirus outbreak could lead to the postponement or cancellation of football matches in the near future.
The health of persons is much more important than any football game and anything else. I mean, the health is beyond anything. And that's why, I mean, we have to look at the situation, we have to monitor it, we have to hope that it will decrease rather than increase. For the moment, it looks still like it is increasing. And, well, if games have to be postponed, played without spectators or whatever for a period of time until it's over, well, then...
The spread of the COVID-19 virus has already led to the canceling of various sports events around the world, including the Chinese Grand Prix, the World Athletics Indoor Championships, and the Six Nations Rugby Union meeting between Ireland and Italy. Infantino also said he hoped both the Pan-Continental Euro 2020 and the Olympic football tournament in Japan would go ahead as planned this summer, but that controlling the virus was more important than any football commitment.
I think the Euro will take place in June, and before that we have many more matches at international level with a lot of travel involved as well, so I think we have to monitor really the situation, follow the situation, and I mean those who are in charge of these matters, the governments, public institutions, they will also take decisions on what is allowed and what is not allowed.
Numerous international friendlies and qualifiers are scheduled to begin next month. The epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak, Wuhan, China, has been on lockdown for more than a month. Locked out of Wuhan is their football club, Chinese Super League team Wuhanzhal FC, which is currently stuck in Spain and not able to return to China because of the coronavirus crisis in their home city. Yao Hanlin is the team captain. It has not been easy for any of us players. We miss our friends, and especially our families back in Wuhan, because it's them who we are going through an extremely hard time. I hope they will persevere in order to go back to normal and get better as soon as possible. Yao says the team continues to practice. We have been here for over a month, but we actually left Wuhan 2 months ago. We have been working very hard in training here every day. Our only goal is to be back to the Olympic Sports Center Stadium in Wuhan and bring joy to our supporters. Wuhanzhal FC coach Jose Gonzalez is proud of how his players have been dealing with the unusual and stressful dilemma. I admire them so much. I try to put myself in their place many times, and I can only imagine what they are going through every day. Their days begin by calling their families, and they realize that they're still inside their house, afraid with a fear that gets into the players' heads. But every day they behave as football professionals, and I admire the work they do in every training session. They're great professionals, and they're doing their best at their job.
Están haciendo su trabajo lo mejor que pueden.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
And get this, you can find Jim Stevenson's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. As I mentioned earlier, top Olympic officials say the Tokyo Games are still scheduled to open in July, despite some disruption in qualifying events. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. On Wednesday, the president of the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee, Yoshiro Mori, told reporters he is absolutely not considering canceling the 2020 Olympic Games. He added that while it is necessary to continuously assess the situation, he's fully confident the Games will begin on schedule. Mori also said he was pleased with comments made by IOC President Thomas Bach, who also spoke on Wednesday from IOC headquarters in Switzerland.
I can tell you that today in the meeting of the executive board, neither the word cancellation nor the word postponement was even mentioned.
That's Thomas Bach speaking to reporters at the conclusion of a two-day meeting that focused on preparations for the upcoming Games. His remarks reiterate earlier comments made by IOC spokesman Mark Adams, who insisted the organization is standing firm on the July 24th start date with no Plan B. The coronavirus outbreak has so far infected tens of thousands of people across the globe, and nearly 3,000 have died from the disease. Thomas Bach says a joint task force involving the World Health Organization is in place to advise the IOC and Tokyo Olympics organizers on the way forward. He says so far the biggest challenge has been the need to delay or cancel Olympic qualifying events.
We have challenges now with the qualifications. The many measures we have been undertaking. This is challenging, yes, but I must also say I'm pretty proud of the Olympic movement, of the great solidarity and flexibility everybody has shown there so far to address these challenges.
The Asian Oceanian qualifying event for the sport of boxing, originally planned to take place in Wuhan, China in February, has been moved to Amman, Jordan. Those qualifying events are being held right now through March 11th. Meanwhile, a qualifying tournament for European athletes is set to take place in London next month. And one boxer named Farid Walizadeh is planning to be there with the hope of fulfilling his dream, fighting for gold at the Olympic Games.
First, I want to try in Olympic Games. I want to put my name in history as a representative of the people, all the people that who lost their hope during the war and every problem that they ran away from their country for searching new hopes and to make their dream. Then, after Olympic Games, we will see.
Farid is a refugee from Afghanistan. He fled his war-torn country at the age of 7 and traveled mostly on foot to Turkey. He spent 5 years in Istanbul until the UN Refugee Agency relocated him to Portugal, a location Farid believed would be a good place to start a new life thanks to a well-known soccer star.
I was chosen, and I chose Portugal too, because first we don't have Afghanistan, we don't have an embassy with Portugal, which is, it was a good advantage. Second, I didn't know where the Portugal is besides Cristiano Ronaldo, because the only thing that I knew that Cristiano Ronaldo is from Portugal, so I said I'm going to go there and try new life.
His martial arts training segued into boxing, and he quickly rose up the ranks. Farid caught the eye of Portugal's Olympic Committee, and in March of 2019, he was awarded a scholarship from the IOC to train full-time for the 2020 Tokyo Games. His personal coach, Paulo Seco, has sent various Portuguese boxers to the Olympics. But Seco says he has to literally make Farid bleed to achieve in 10 months what normally takes several years of preparation. But Farid is giving it his best shot, and he believes his hard work will pay off in the end.
I work hard. I don't know that if I deserve or not, but I work hard, and I want to inspire people that there's always a second chance if they want. And I want to inspire people. I want to motivate people that to not say that, okay, it's done. I lost everything. Yes, I lost my house. I lost my childhood. I lost my life, my country, my city, my family. But we can build everything again. And that way I think I should go to Olympic and show the people that if I can do, they can do easy.
If he qualifies next month, Farid will represent the refugee Olympic team in the upcoming Tokyo Games. And we will keep our eye on Farid Walizadeh. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
On Issues in the News. Listen to a panel of prominent Washington journalists as they deliberate the latest top stories of the week, which will include 75 countries reporting cases of the coronavirus. Join moderator Paul Brandis, panelists Tom DeFrank and Richard LaTendresse this Saturday and Sunday on Issues in the News.
They're playing basketball without that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Miami Heat edged their Florida rival, the Orlando Magic, by 3 points, 116-113. It took a record-setting night from three-point range for Miami to win. The Heat made a club record 22 three-pointers. Duncan Robinson led Miami with 27 points, all of them coming from behind the three-point arc. Robinson said afterwards that his teammates and coaching staff encouraged him to shoot. Well, I know the Milwaukee Bucks encouraged Giannis Antetokounmpo to shoot. The NBA's reigning most valuable player had another big game for the Bucks. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The Bucks drained a huge lead by halftime, recovered, and went on to a solid 119-100 win over the Pacers. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 29 points. The Bucks still have not lost back-to-back games after losing in Miami two nights earlier. Antetokounmpo says the team bounced back.
We're not going to go 82-0. You know, we're going to lose games. And it's part of basketball. It's part of sports. But at the end of the day, we got to learn from it. And today we learned. We got back on track. On the winning track, we got our offense was really good.
They had a 22-point lead before the Pacers came racing back to make it a two-point game at halftime. Using a 15-2 third-quarter run, the Bucks opened up some distance, and they rolled to their NBA best 53-9 record. The Pacers had their four-game winning streak ended. T.J. Warren, their high man, with 18 points. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. The Milwaukee Bucks rolling along this NBA season. And that wraps up the March 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
As Michelle Kunimoto, a student of astronomy at the University of British Columbia, was combing through mounds of data gathered by NASA's former planet-hunting Kepler mission, she discovered 17 new exoplanets. Among the newfound planets includes an Earth-sized world that resides in the habitable zone of its host star. These so-called habitable zones are areas surrounding stars where liquid water could exist on the surface of rocky planets. The potentially habitable planet is said to be just 1.5 times the size of Earth and is about 1,000 light-years away. Of the 16 other new planets, the researchers say that the smallest of them is only 2/3 the size of Earth. They say the remaining 15 planets were found to range in sizes up to 8 times that of Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.